You know, Doug, I was a 10th round pick. I look at you. You were an undrafted free agent. As a head coach now and ultimately the decision maker, do you find you have maybe some more empathy for some of these late round picks and free agents because you went through it yourself?
I do, and I've caught myself from time to time sort of gravitating towards those players and trying to really encourage those guys to stick to what they believe in and to stick to this great game, because it's our job as coaches, as personnel, staff members, you know, evaluators of talent, to find the best 53 at the end of the day. And if these guys just give everything they have every single day and I can keep encouraging them, you know, great things can happen for an undrafted guy. And I ended up playing 14 years there. And it's just amazing looking back that I was able to hang on for that long.
Much has been made about the Andy Reid influence. I guess 7 years as a coach with him and of course, with a player. What do you take from Andy?
Wow, the biggest thing I think is just the honesty and how well he treats his players and coaches, number one. And he's so upfront with everybody, and sometimes he's going to tell you exactly not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And he's constantly coaching everybody. He's making his assistant coaches better. He's making his players better. In sort of on the same side of that, he's making the entire organization better just by how he handles his business. And he never wavers. You know, it's black and it's white. You know, there's no gray with him, and that's what you get. And those are some of the things that I've taken away from Coach Reid.
And where's the Andy Reid influence stop and the Doug Peterson personality and influence start? Well, how are you going to be different?
Mike, you know, this is something I've thought about a lot, and I continue to think about that because I get asked that question quite a bit. Where is it going to go? And I think it's that day to day. You know, yeah, I've got a set schedule, but you know what? If I see something that I can do a little differently and do it the way I feel like my players need, then I'm going to do something. I'm going to go in that direction. But this thing is still kind of evolving and still sort of unfolding. I'm listening to Jim Schwartz. I'm listening to Frank Reich and my staff, and I want to see what works in their organizations where they've been in the past. And I just know this, too, that what I believe in and the way things have been so far this year, it's been proven. I was on a football team in Green Bay where we did this exact same routine. As mundane as it might be, it took us to 2 Super Bowls in Green Bay when we were there. It's taken the Eagles organization to a Super Bowl here. And so I know it works.
You mentioned Jimmy Schwartz. I this weekend, because I'm a dummy, I mean, I'm a knucklehead, I said, what tape can I watch that I'll have some fun with? And I went back to 2014 Kansas City Buffalo. I wanted to see your offense against Jimmy's defense. How well did you know Jimmy before you hired him?
Pretty well. He goes back to his head coaching days in Detroit, and when I was here with Philadelphia, we had a chance to play them, and then in Buffalo, and just kind of studying his. He had great personnel in Buffalo. Now he had a tremendous defense, and in fact, some of the guys are here with us now, and to make our defense great, and some of the things that he was presenting back then. Was just based on the strength of the defense, and he had pass rushers, and he prided himself in getting off the football, and those guys could roll, and our guys are in that same similar mold, you know, the Fletcher Coxes and the Vinnie Currys and Brandon Grahams, Connor Barwin. These guys are rolling off the ball now, and so you're seeing a lot of those same similarities, those same traits. But a coach that's coached a lot of defenses, he's called a lot of games, he's been in my shoes for 5 years in Detroit. For me, it was really an easy decision to make, knowing his track record and where his defenses have ranked over his career.
Okay, give me 3 words that categorize a Jim Schwartz defense.
Aggressive, tenacious, and the third one I'll say, spirited.
Yeah.
There are 3 words that just kind of hit me when I think about what our guys have done since the beginning of OTAs to today.
With his background as a head coach, do you ever go to him, just kind of close the door to the two of you and go, oh, man, did you ever have to deal with this in Detroit while you were there?
Yes, I have. And it started way back when I hired him, you know, and just I wanted to pick his brain on certain things and how he did not only how he handled players, but how he, you know, maybe organizationally handled certain things. And you know, he's definitely a sounding board or a piece of my puzzle that I can continue to lean on throughout the year.
By the way, I thought he kicked your tail in 2014 for 3.5 quarters.
I wasn't going to say that, but he did.
You won the game.
We ended up winning.
You remember the two touchdown plays? Your two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Do you remember them?
If I remember one, if this was 14, it was Alex Smith. That might have been 13, but I'm thinking Alex Smith on a run.
8 yard zone read.
Zone read.
Tight end backside.
And then fourth and one to Jamal on a power pitch.
Misdirection toss. Yep.
Were the two. And they were both misdirection. And again, knowing his style of defense and the aggression of the defense, we took advantage of something during the game, and two tremendous athletes made plays.
So I watched this Kansas City tape, and my takeaways are trying to translate it to Philadelphia is I love the way you used Jamal Charles and found him touches in space. Screen game was awesome. And I think of Darren Sproles immediately when I see that. And number two is misdirection. I mean, you'll punch people in the face with gap runs and all that, but your misdirection philosophy is really kind of cool. Can you tell briefly what the Philadelphia fans, what that means?
It just means it gives your offense an edge. It means when maybe you're not at full strength on game day, you try to find that edge, and that gives you an edge. And it also means utilizing your personnel to its fullest and maximizing, you know, our guys and our guys on offense to put them in you know, situations where they can be successful. And listen, this game, do you want to line up and play smash mouth football? Yeah, you're going to have to at some point, but at the same time, you still got to. You know, you got the passing game, which is, you know, we're in a league now that's a pass-happy league. And at the same time, you know, defensive linemen are getting faster and leaner and can get after the passer. So, you know, you find that edge by taking advantage and putting our guys in great positions to do that.
And I would imagine you look at Darren Sproles and your eyes have to light up because, again, it's a playmaker's league. It's hard going 18 plays and 78 yards every drive. Some you got to get gash plays sooner or later.
Yeah, and it's something that you know, you got to find those chunks, like you're saying, and a guy like Darren can do that for you. And again, it's fun to kind of watch him in practice, and the way he practices at such a high level every single day. And you know, what we've shown already in camp is nothing to what we can do with him and what we did in Kansas City. And I'm just looking forward to continuing to work with him.
A lot of talk, obviously, about Carson Wentz. Where is he right now in his development?
He's on track. He's right. In fact, he's ahead of track, actually. He's ahead of the curve for me where most young quarterbacks that come in are sort of struggling mentally. And then you struggle mentally, you're going to struggle physically to make the throws. And you still see some signs of that, you know, where he's fighting through some progressions and some reads. But mentally, he's way ahead of the curve when it comes to knowing our offense and terminology. Now it's a matter of him sort of honing in that particular play at that time and understanding what the play is designed, what coverage it's designed to beat. Are we giving him a three deep side and a two deep side? Are we mixing those concepts? And now just understanding that and where are my eyes on this play? How is my drop going to, you know, correlate to the read that I have? That's where now he has to really begin to make that next step, because he understands our offense. He knows the terminology. There's nothing. He has very little issues spitting plays out in the huddle.
So he's like a friggin' sponge, isn't he?
He's totally a sponge. And so pleased where he's at. He's making progress every day. He's big arm, athletic. You see him a couple times make those runs. He throws extremely well on the run, very accurate on the run. Looking forward to these preseason games.
How will you define when he's ready to go? And I don't mean what week of the year or what your record is. How do you define if he needs to play, what does he need to be able to do?
When you can unconsciously go out there and make throws and understanding this offense like the back of your hand, then that person's ready to play. Then Carson's ready to play. And that's – he's not there yet, you know. Sam and Chase are constantly learning every single day. You know, we're evolving as a staff with you know, X's and O's every single day. But when you can go out there as a quarterback and sort of unconsciously make those throws without thinking, then you're ready to play.